तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। जस्ट चैंट वन वर्स टू इट, वर्स 19। ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च, ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च, त्रिदैव गुणभेदतः, त्रिदैव गुणभेदतः, प्रोच्यते गुणसंख्यानि, प्रोच्यते गुणसंख्यानि, यथावच्छृणुतान्यपि, यथावच्छृणुतान्यपि, ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च, त्रिदैव गुणभेदता, प्रोच्यते गुणसंख्यानि, यथावच्छृणुतान्यपि। Yeah, because it just started a little late for some of us. So far in this chapter 18, the 18 verses that we have covered, the gist of it is, he discusses the difference between sannyasa and tyaga. Sannyasa is a state of mind, and tyaga is renouncing the fruit. In the sense, when you are in the beginning stage of spiritual development, you would have a lot of desires. Anybody would have a lot of desires. And therefore, you would act, maybe even propelled by your desires, but at least you can renounce the fruit of action. So he says that kind of renouncing the fruit of action is called tyaga. And then sannyas is when your mind is completely established in renunciation. Then he also talked about three types of renunciation or tyaga: sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. And in a nutshell, we saw that tamasic tyaga is when you do not know the value and out of delusion you give up something. It's called tamasic. When you don't understand the value of leading a disciplined life and out of delusion you think life is to just indulge and enjoy. Out of delusion, you don't study every day as a student, you know, you relax. All these kind of things is coming under tamasic activity. Out of delusion, you give up what you ought to do. When you give up what you ought to do out of delusion, it's called tamasic. In short, you don't know the value and you give it away. Rajasic is when you give up something out of difficulty in acting or achieving. That's called rajasic. So we said you know the value and you have the value. That's the main thing. You know the value and you have the value for it. Yet since there is difficulty in achieving it, you will say, what is it? I don't want to do it. I'll give it up. I'll give up. That kind of giving up is called rajasic. In other words, you would like to attain some object. Like that grape is our story, you know. They love to eat the grapes. They try to jump and catch it and they are not able to catch the grapes. They are not able to pluck the grapes from the tree. So they say grape is our. That sort of giving up is called rajasic. Tamasic is when you do not know the value and give it up, that is tamasic. What is sattvic? Sattvic giving up is actually not giving up but growing up. In sattvic giving up, you don't give up the action. You give up the attachment to the fruit. You give up the egocentric attitude, sorry, egocentric desire and egoistic attitude. Then you do what has to be done. So in short, you know the value, you do not have the value. You know the value of an object, but you do not have the value for that object because you entertain the higher value. Right? So can you summarize sattvic, rajasic, tamasic renunciation? Anybody?
Just you should do.
I did, but I want you to do. You can see this portion is, like I said, summary of the entire Gita. These concepts you should understand correctly. But as we go now, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic actor, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic intellect, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic dhriti or determination, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic happiness. All this we will be discussing. By the time you for sure forget, that is what I am saying. Let us do this kind of exercise now, when we do this. Because then, end of this, sorry, I am going to ask all of you to do your own personality assessment. This entire portion, this entire portion, I do a retreat for 2 days to the companies and individuals. Because you can clearly assess your personality where you are and then progress further. So this retreat that I conduct is called as personality re-engineering. I use this only. But when I did this in Dubai once for a company, one fellow who was shifting to Canada, he said, you should patent it. I said, I can patent it. It is Sri Krishna, you know. So there is no question of patenting. Because it tells you where you are, like a mirror. So what is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic renunciation?
You don't renounce the fruit of the action. Egocentric desires and egoistic attitude. And that dualship attitude will be renounced. Trusteeship attitude will be there.
That is sattvic renunciation. So in sattvic renunciation, you will do the action. Just remove the dualship. Maker aham. Sirf maker kurte. That's what a lot of people, when they do action, what they do. Sara kaam ye karo, koi nahi karta, koi nahi karta. You know, in any organization also, you go, this is what they think. The whole thing is running because of those kind of nonsense is removed. But never the action. That is sattvic. So, to put it in a nutshell, we say you have the value, you know the value, but you don't have the value for it. Hence, your attachment is given, but you continue doing. See, people have value for the world, right? And they find it difficult to achieve the worldly objects. Who doesn't want to become a multimillionaire? You ask a general question. Everybody would like to be. Multi-multi-multi, but how much sweat and how much toil, how much you need to work hard, it's not a joke. Who doesn't like to become a prime minister? Who doesn't like to become a chief minister? Who does? Everywhere it is like that, right? But there is so much effort involved. So, due to the effort involved, you give it up. And you say, there is nothing in this. Then it is necessary. Okay? What is tamasic? Because rajasic has some race.
Something
is good,
it's ignorance. Basically, you don't know the value.
You don't know the value, and you give it up. Out of delusion, you give up what ought to be done.
Escapism.
What ought to be done? You know, whatever it is. You give it up out of delusion. Why we procrastinate? Delusion. I can get away.
Non-addressing of issues
which
need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
That's
the...
Also something.
Like, see the definition of what Sri Krishna says when it comes to tamasic. It becomes very clear to you. Verily, renunciation of obligatory action is not proper. Tyaga, relinquishment of that from delusion is declared tamasic. What is he saying? Verily, renunciation of obligatory action is not proper. Obligatory actions to the body. What are the obligatory actions to the body?
Exercise, healthy eating.
The way she is saying only, very impressive tone, exercise and eating. So that's what very perfectly summarized by Sarada. Because the way he says also said, renunciation of obligatory action is not proper. And tyaga, relinquishment of that, of obligatory action, out of delusion, is declared tamasika. So I asked you, what are the obligatory actions at the body level? What are the obligatory actions at the mind level? What are the obligations at the intellect level? At the spiritual level? At your material level? With reference to your relationships? With reference to your work? All these obligations, out of delusion when I give up, without understanding the value of them properly, out of ignorance, that's called. And if you see many things, like she rightly said, that exercise for example, or eating the right type of food, right? I give up all those things which are obligatory. We do out of, why? Delusion. Out of ignorance. Yeah? Following a certain disciplined lifestyle is obligatory. So that our mind doesn't go helter-skelter. So it's obligatory for me to make sure that my mind is remaining peaceful. See, remember this, I've said it many times, but I don't know whether you've resisted it. If we really want to grow as a human being, we need to strengthen the intellect. But strengthening the intellect involves a lot of questioning and studying and reflecting. But that alone is not enough, even if you do that. Along with that, generally in our life, we should make sure there is a certain amount of regulated lifestyle and disciplined lifestyle. If not, it becomes difficult. If not, like water sprinkled on a hot plate, all the knowledge, all the effort you are putting into developing intellect, goes. So all your years of effort goes waste in 1 second. That is why it becomes difficult in spiritual path. See, that doesn't mean you completely neglect the world. You need to have a balanced approach. What is the balanced approach? To whatever extent you need to contact the sense world for transactional purposes, you must deal with them, you must be in contact. You can't completely deny the world. But you got to understand, what am I getting there for? What can the world give me? All that Vedanta says is very simple. Before you get into something, think about it. Now, I am getting into an object, let's say a food item, because I'm hungry. I know that this food item can quench my hunger. Fine. But if I think the pleasure is in the food item, then I run after it as if it's a permanent pleasure I'll get from them. That sort of delusion we give away, that's all they say. So for transactional purpose, chitna contact karna, wo decide karke contact kar dijiye. Right. Then similarly, on a daily basis, you need to take in knowledge. You can't completely deny the world and keep on taking knowledge. You can't completely deny the knowledge and keep on indulging in the world. You've got to follow a balanced approach if you want to grow as a human being. It's impractical if you completely deny the world. That's why, should I have to come to the ashram and take up sannyas? Only then will I get this knowledge, no? Not necessary. It doesn't mean that I can then uncontrollably, without any discipline, keep on contacting. No, why? Because as you start feeding the mind, what happens to the mind? Mind starts getting more and more desires and agitated. Therefore, it becomes important that we manage a certain basic transactional purpose but balance. Here also balance. When we keep on doing that, then we slowly grow. That's the idea. And then, after that, he said, there are 5 aspects that go as causes for action. What are the five that we saw? Seat, Adhishthana. Seat is the body, gross, subtle and causative. And then, just study it last week. Seat, then, you can see the book if you want. Vatna is the causal body. Then you come into the seat. Who is the doer? The conditioned consciousness. Actor. That is doer. Then instruments. Mind, intellect, ego, all that. Instruments. Then
functions.
And the functions of those instruments. It's not enough if you have the instruments. The instruments should be functional. The functional instruments are different, right? Then. After that, fifth one is?
Lord.
Lord is, we interpreted, Atma. Remember? Atma. Now, these five come together for any action. All he's trying to say is, when any action happens, these five come together. What are the five? Gross, subtle, causal body. This is the physical body, gross body, subtle body, and then the causal body, the entire personality. And then?
The doer.
The doer, the conditioned consciousness. In this case, Rita. Conditioned consciousness, consciousness reflects the conditioned consciousness.
Would it be the self?
Self is the Lord.
Self is the?
Lord, fifth one. And then the third one is instruments. Fourth one is the function. Fifth one is Atma, the self. Now here we said, remember the example of petrol. Atma functions like a petrol. Without Atma, no action is possible. Yet Atma is not the direct cause for action. And then he said, lot of people think that Atma is your real personality. They are the doer out of delusion. And then they incur sin. So, if you clearly understand that Atma, the self, is not the doer, and even if you happen to kill on the battlefield, you are not incurring sin. So, two things we saw last week, which are extremely important to Bhagavad Gita. One is what? I don't do an action, but mentally, I have the hurtful thoughts to a being. I have committed sin. Even though I did not physically go and hurt, it is not one thought of hurt that I am talking about. It is a constant indulgence in the thought of hurting. Are you getting it? Even though physically I did not go and hurt, I have created certain impressions. So karma will be there for such a person. Number one. Now, this is one side. The other side is the ulta of it. Ulta of it is what?
Done the physical act.
You have physically hurt somebody. Like mentally, koi bhi revenge attitude, koi bhi hurtful sentiments, kuch bhi nahi.
As a soldier.
Right, exactly. Soldier, to some extent, yes. To some extent. Because they keep giving the example of soldiers is correct only. I'm not saying it's wrong. But sometimes, not necessarily that they are doing it without intention. Right. You understand? So, doctor puts a knife into a patient's body, actually to help him. But it could be that the patient dies on the table. Right. Or a hangman. Hangman would be a good example. Or a judge. Right. Now, as per the merit of the case, the fellow needs to be hanged. So he said, hang him. Not let him free. Hang him. No? Similarly, the hangman comes and hangs him. He is just doing his job. Yes.
Completely relationless.
Emotionless. Yes.
No
relationless. No. Emotionless. Yeah. Emotions. Ho sakta. He is killing. He knows that he is putting a human being to death. But he knows.
Connection.
It's not emotionless. It is.
So relationship.
Yes. No. Exactly. So.
Now, object.
No. What she is asking is, I know I understand. What she is asking is, that is easy. Yes. That is easy. If it was easy, why we need to study for so many years? We are studying. Right? What?
And what is it? Relationless. Not easy, relationless.
Incorporeal.
I am not concerned with that guy and I just have to do what I need with my work.
Oh, not like Arjuna and Drona, where there is a relation, but there is still...
Exactly.
Oh, there is no relationship.
Okay. Exactly. See, that is true. But what Sri Krishna is saying is, it doesn't matter who it is, even your own son, daughter, doesn't matter. Your own wife, parents. To do that from the level of Atma, that's what is the difficult thing. That's why a lot of reflection is involved. So, yet the principle is same. What is the principle? Physically, if you hurt, kill, even go to the extent of killing, but mentally you have no intention or hurtful sentiments or revenge, nothing. No doership, even no doership, that's the main thing.
Objective.
No doership that I am doing, then no.
So the intention.
I would use the word doership than intention. I'm not against the word intention, but doership. See, why I'm saying this, the word intention is very interesting. Now, intention, you can argue by saying that Arjuna had the intention to kill, Krishna also had the intention to kill. Because they have the intention of the doctor to cut the cancer cells. Is there. But the intention is not to
hurt them.
Harm them. So instead of using the word intention, I would rather use the word doership. I am not doing it with the doership that I am doing. See, what Sri Krishna said in 11th chapter verse 55, you remember, you have to become an instrument in the hands of totality. To become instrument in the hands of totality. What is that instrument in the hands of totality? In this pura chakkar mein, in this dunya mein, there is each one doing something or the other. Right? There are some, like fishes, they keep on eating the kai. They are doing the cleansing part. Are you with me? So each one is doing something or the other. Only thing is, the human being is more conscious. Am I right? Human being is more conscious than other beings. Right? So as a result of that, we have suddenly developed an ego. When a tiger eats and it's hungry, kills and eats, there is no doership. So there is no question of tiger being punished for it. But knowing the nature of the tiger, you may separate it and put it in a certain forest where human beings don't go or something like that, or you put them in a zoo or something. That's a different thing. But does tiger interest him? No. Why? Because tiger has no doership. You understand? When a tiger is chasing a deer, its intention is to kill and eat only, no? But doership nahi hai unke. You understand what I'm trying to say? So that innocence is what happened. When we were children, we were innocent. But that was ignorantly innocent.
Like tiger kills a black buck, that is innocent. Salman Khan, if he kills a black buck, that is doership.
Right?
So that's why the difference. But what we did, anybody, like just an example, that is doership.
See, it's very interesting, it's a little costly in the sense. If Salman Khan killed a goat,
that's also doership.
No. Doership.
Punishment.
That's
the life of the law.
Because human laws in India is against black bugs because they are endangered species.
Right. And religious for that community.
Okay. That's right. Okay, that I didn't know. Religious is the community.
The community,
they worship. I see. Okay, I didn't know.
So that is why...
Okay, that is as per law of the land. Make a word, no?
गोट को किल कर रहे हैं वो भी अगर दूर शिक्षा करेंगे ब्लैक बक को करेंगे वो भी दूर शिक्षा ह्यूमन बीइंग सी व्हेन वी किल अ डॉग maybe after the land so this thing you are not put in jail but we are all doing it with doership na are you with me the doership is what we are talking about we are not talking about the law of the land we are not talking about this thing so you took it in a different angle as animal kill the black bug is different human being I didn't talk from that angle I'm talking from
the doership Salman Khan because this happened I'm just saying a human being when he kills a thing for just hunting then it's like doership but the same thing when a tiger does because he yes. doesn't have an ego so that's without
the tiger fulfilling a basic
It's nothing to do with the law of the land. Don't confuse yourself with law of the land. I'm saying any killing, even killing human beings. See, for example.
So people keep hens in the farm, in the backyard. In villages, they keep hens in the backyard. All doors. They do that and they give them and they eat them.
That is
and chicken. So what is that then?
You can't decide like that. You can't decide. You can't decide based on whether these people who grow and they eat only that are they
individual
doership. That is what I'm saying from the.
Are you taking pleasure in killing them as doership? Are you doing it as a as not even need as food?
Just an instrument in the hand of Buddha. That's it. Yes. No.
So when a tiger,
when two tigers have a test
to inside, it is a doership. Because he kill the other tiger to get capture of a place.
See,
similarly, when a human like Arjun fought the war, it was in a larger totality of the society to have good over evil. That's how we should be looking at it, without the doership.
Good over evil, all that is correct. But what I am trying to say is, just because you are fighting, supporting a righteous cause, it itself doesn't prove that you are doing it without doership. You got it? You are evil, I am good, let's say. And you have, without my knowledge, you have stolen something from me. So now I am fighting to get it back from you. Right? That also I must do without doership. That's all. So in short, it is not just good or evil. Good and evil, correct. But in dharmic, you are part of the total. As a part, you have to do this, you are doing it better. Not because I am good and you are evil, now I have the right to punish you. Then there is doership coming in there also. So just because I am fighting for a righteous cause in itself doesn't mean I am fighting it without doership. It could be that you may end up fighting on the side of a evil because you happen to be a soldier, but you are just doing it as a doer. I mean, your instrument. You internocent. You got it. See, that is why it's you remove all this. See, you got to think that the ethics morality is defined by human beings from time to time. It will keep on changing as a human being's thinking evolves. ठीक है? वो एक जगह में रख दीजिए. वो भी हम follow करना. लेकिन उससे बड़ा एथिक्स क्या है धर्म उससे बड़ा एथिक्स धर्म में wherever I am, as per that rule, what is to be done, I do it with no prefix, no suffix, then it's different. So, now this is where you have to be very, very careful in understanding things correctly, because if you don't understand what I'm saying correctly, then you may end up justifying all the nakras that you want to do. That is why we give an example of a judge, no? Judge and the thief. Murderer.
Yeah,
he murdered and he argued in the court that I didn't murder, my body murdered. Therefore, how can you put me in jail? As per Shastra, body karta hai, atma kuch nahi karta, main atma hu. Understand? Judge, sahi baat hai, atma tumhe kuch nahi karenge, lekin body mandar dalenge. You understand? So, we should understand this correctly. Yes.
So, when a soldier does
not agree with the moral of what he's fighting for, he has to use the intellect at some point and he can move away from doing if it is a wrong thing. Is that dharma or is that still worship? What you're asking is, the soldier, can he decide independently that this is a dharmic and I will not fight? I don't think so. He has gambit of his thing. He has the power to do that. He cannot.
But there are so many of them who resigned after Pulwama.
Pardon?
So many of our Indian soldiers, some of them, one or two of them were brigadiers, who left the army because they thought this was not correct in the family. So how would they be placed? Are they adharmic because they didn't follow the functions of the soldier?
No, it's purely the matter of conscience. Purely the matter of conscience, I would say that. Because see, you and me cannot judge based on somebody's... See, the biggest challenge that confronts all of us in any of these questions is only one, according to me, and that is, we are going by the action.
We're going by the action. By the action.
Yes.
No, I'm saying you should use your intellect at every point.
24/7.
Whatever
is karma. Yes. Correct. You have to use the intellect. But I am unable to discuss any of these kind of instances because I am not sure what was their doership or thinking or whatever. Right. But having said that, you see, it's a very interesting question. I'm just trying to be a little careful when I use the words. Now, you take for example, you're working for an organization. Ultimately, there's a decision maker. Right? Ultimately, there's a decision maker. You can give your suggestions, you do everything. Whenever you ask, you told. And once that suggestion is accepted or not accepted, like a captain of the cricket team, or a soccer team, or whoever, he decided, no, this person should do, not this person. Right? He thinks that this is the right thing. Then, if you say, no, suddenly now I will resign. You understand? Because you are not agreeing with what we are saying. That's not correct. You think this is what is correct. The other person may think that is what is correct. But the end of the day, there is a person who decides. Once the decision is made, in many contexts, it becomes obligatory for us to follow that. Now your question is, now do I have the option of resigning? Which is saying is, so now the question is, how much of this resignation is due to not being dharma fact or my ego involved, that my opinion was not heard also? Because I think I am right.
So the objective is important.
That's extremely important.
So even the decision maker, in any context, if there is a decision to be taken, then the goal should obviously, it's very obvious that it doesn't happen in that environment. It should be the larger good, the good of the larger. I mean, the objective should be clear. And not because someone is, not to
feel. See, the day you joined the military,
personal ambition.
Mamtaji, the day you joined the military, did you know that whatever they decide you have to follow or not?
So that's why if the PM's goal is not for universal ambition, personal motive, but it's for the larger good of humanity. So it's not depends on the goal. And the person who designs doesn't agree with that goal, even if it's personal motive.
That is what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm trying to tell you. In certain positions like this, when you join military, did you know that when the commander says, see, for example,
no, now, let me make it a little more broad. That is Sadhana joining a company. I'm joining her company, giving in whatever else.
Companies here, before I proceed. See, company and military thoda sa farak hai. Company, of course, you have always the option of resigning.
Let me give you an example of what I'm getting. You know, Sadhana tells me that this is an X amount of cash money. Please take it and deliver it to so and so. I know if I'm caught on the way, I will be punished and going to jail, not Sadhana. Would I do that? No. If I have a thinking mind, I would not want to do that. So when I'm a soldier and I've signed everything, but when I know that my leader is not making me fight against my country, but taking advantage...
Fight against the enemy country.
Sorry?
Not against my country.
No, not for my country.
Meaning it's not really fighting for my country, but to benefit his doership. And that is why I was involved in this. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to defend India.
So then
that's what I'm trying to.
So then the discernment which comes in the Viveka
comes in.
So
that's what is important. This is what I'm trying to tell you. No, what you're doing. I need all depends on many factors. No, what I'm saying. See, the last thing that you can't. See, for example, Krishna is just think about this. Very interesting question it is. Just think about it. You are at a certain height. Height doesn't mean growth. I'm not talking about the mental growth. I'm talking about you are at a certain height in a place. Right?
Altitude.
There's another person at a certain altitude. Now let's say the captain is at this higher altitude, you are at the lower altitude. From that higher altitude, certain things what he says. From the lower altitude, it may look to you like not done. There are many situations like this. Right? So the commander is saying from that altitude, you got to do this. Especially in the battlefield, emergency comes, situation comes, you might have to change a plan, you might have to take certain things different. Are you with me? Once at that kind of a situation, to me it seems that you need to understand that the person is seen from a certain higher level and you got to adopt it. Because this is a different thing. Now, this cash example that you say, I will get caught. Right. It's a little different example, but in short, what we can discuss is the captain being very vicious person, selfish person, vicious person. What do you call it in military, the autocratic?
Dictator.
Correct, that's the word, dictator. Right. Then, you have two options. One is, go with the dictator. Or, you try to rebel. Right. In the interest of the country or whatever. And face whatever the repercussions may be. This is one side, when he is a dictator. Supposing he is like Shri Krishna, where you can't really understand. In fact, many things that Shri Krishna said, right? Like the other day you were talking about the Ashwatthama. Right? You need tremendous maturity to understand at what context what has to be done. Because dharma is very complicated. And you discuss dharma. Many of us, we go by samanya dharma. Samanya dharma is different from special dharma in a special context. Okay? In a special context, I need to say, take certain things which a whole lot of people may understand after 100 years. Just take this example of Article 377, no, it was? The homosexual thing, Article 377. It took us now to come to a point where to make law. Even now a lot of people are against it. Even now. It's not as if just because it's being made into a law, a lot of people are agreeing to it. No, they are still saying, no, it is a criminal thing. Right? They just removed the criminal thing. For that itself now, so many people are still not agreeing. Still not agreeing. But at the end of the day, they have made it a law now. Now it's not legally punishable. Just because you are, a gay. So now, but there was a time in India, until recently, it was legally punishable. Correct? How many of people are punished is a different matter. Now, when you take certain decisions, people may not agree. But you have to take. That's the challenge of a leader. Whoever, tomorrow if you become the leader of your organization, you have to take certain decisions like that. Sometimes from a certain level, it looks like anarchy. Are you with me? So, therefore now, if supposing I start resigning and going last minute, just because I feel it is
adharmic. Not last minute, after you've completed. They all resigned after they, because they were part of it, so they finished whatever the job was. Natural gift.
Never done any other.
Like when you talk of gay, it's personal choice. And it's a human law. There's nothing to do with your own conscience or nothing to do with alone. A totality of the country or anything. It was completely individual.
Individual choice after doing what action?
No, in being a gay.
No, I'm saying indeed. These people who resigned, they completed the action because I don't know that fact. That's why I'm asking. What is that fact? Can you just say that?
They were soldiers, so they took part and they obeyed and they did whatever they were asked to do because they were on the ground. But then they had time to
think about it and they realized that the
it was always doership or whatever word we use.
From the before they actually they considered it in the
thought it was. At the point of the at that time they followed through their
soldiers. But then after that they realized that so many who got so offended that they have given their life for something, their version, and then people are questioning that and trying to get through that they have now become totally against the other parties, even those who were against, and they become pro. So they are all kind of, like so many that they are questioning, like they are ready to lay their life, and then people are asking, prove, dikhao, kya gaye, kahan gaye. So there's the other side of the story.
So
it's just individual thing, who decides for others what is right and
wrong. No, individual thing is different, individual thing is different. When it comes to the soldier thing, soldier thing, if as per that legal contract, if they had an option to resign, your conscience is not allowing you to be in that, resign, fine. But there are people who have been in military and they say war itself is bad and they resign also.
No.
Now these are all very, according to me, see, what I am trying to tell you is,
my question
while war is bad, I completely agree. Why war is bad, war should be avoided, forget, avoid it. In fact, every country should not even have a defense force. That is how we should grow as human beings, technically speaking. Even this visa, passport, all this are rubbish, according to me. Okay? But that's a very, very idealistic thing that I'm talking about. There's another thing that is practical. Like, I do understand that if you ask me, spiritually, we are just one whole globe. Isme ye country, wo country, kuch bhi nahi, visa, kuch bhi nahi. Right? That is one of the ideal level. But at the practical level, I do understand that there are some people who are like tigers, there are some people like this, and there are certain things I need to do, certain situations. So then when we make certain setups in this, if a person takes a decision, when he's been given the power to take the decision, I think we should surrender to that. decision and take it. Especially in this kind of situation. After that, I can think and you can take an individual step to resign. But that, I'm not sure 100% whether it is out of no doership. There again, there seems to be some doership. If one takes a decision without doership, then of course why not? But there seems to be some sort of a doership. That I don't agree with this. I don't agree with what? Who as if I am agreeing with what? I also don't agree with war. And today in modern world, when war means that there will fight, supposing, God forbid, if there is a fight between India and Pakistan, maybe less soldiers and more civilians die. You know, both sides. Indians and Pakistanis, both sides. Correct or not?
Maybe.
So now I decide there should be no war, so therefore I'm resigning from there.
My question was, should one use their intellect when they are in a situation, maybe fish in the water, maybe in a family situation? That was my question.
Yeah,
do you just go with the flow?
You use the intellect always. And even this, intellect using doesn't mean only designing. Intellect using also means I personally may not at the moment be clear as to whether this is right or wrong, or may be clear that it is not right. But as a soldier I have to do this and I do it consciously with my intellect. That is also intellect. So when we say intellect doing is both. But in this both, what I am saying is, from spiritual angle, doership nevertheless. That's extremely important. There's always this conflict in the mind that comes whenever you talk about dharma. Please understand, dharma is not static. Even in our legal systems, they've given you, right? Generally you can't kill anybody. But if somebody is trying to kill you or rape you or something like that, you can kill the person. Yes, you might have to go to the court and prove that you did it for that sake. That's a different matter. Isn't it? But generally you can't kill. Human beings are not. But in such kind of situations, you can kill. Law tells you that. Kill, if need be. You are free. So, it's a very, very tricky thing. This, when you talk about dharma. No. Situations take up, right? Otherwise we just, many times we keep on generalizing, you know. We should help poor. Of course we should help poor. Now, who is saying I should not help poor? It's a very general statement. You should help poor. You should help the needy. Correct? But don't you have to take a fresh assessment and see whether they are poor because of, in spite of their effort, what is the situation? Are they trying to be independent, trying to be dependent, poor? You understand what I'm saying? Generally when you discuss, this is the problem. It's a very big problem. I need to understand. Now, I also should be open, you also should be open, then the discussions can be at that level. But if you are fanatic and I am open, then it becomes a difficult thing. See, it's a very, very, dharma is a very complicated thing. It's not as simple as that, what you think, you know. You understand what I'm trying to say, you're so fanatic. Tomorrow, India and Pakistan may not have a border. We may become one country like Germany and we all grew up. Germany, no big border. Huge fight. Pakistan will be on the side of America. They both will not participate if the Olympic happens in Russia. India will participate. West Germany will not participate. East Germany will participate. If it was in America, India, East Germany, Russia will not participate. Now, what is the situation? Have they become one country or not? Now India has become a little closer to America. This is life. You got to constantly take fresh measurements. Don't forget what George Bernard Shaw said. What did George Bernard Shaw say?
Taylor is the most intelligent.
Who is the most intelligent fellow you've met so far? Was asked by somebody to George Bernard Shaw. She said, the tailor, my tailor. Why? Because every time I go, he takes fresh measurements. Every time I go, they take fresh measurements. Now this fresh measurement, this was the beautiful thing that Shakespeare play says, no? Was it for your sake or was it for the sake of the country? A beautiful thing. That I'm talking about Julius Caesar's murder. When Julius Caesar was murdered, what did Brutus say? Not that I love Caesar any less, but I love Rome more. And for the sake of Rome, I had to kill my own close friend because he was ambitious. Are you with me? This was his argument. And it has to be by his death. In fact, in literary circles, there is a lot of debate that goes on this one particular sentence that Brutus makes. He says, it has to be by his death. Now, that it, is it me becoming the next authority? Or is that it, the country? You got it? It requires tremendous clarity, because you need to analyze many, many factors. Many, many factors. If that it is his personal ambition, then of course it is selfish. If that it is country's wellness, then that's the right thing to do. When a doctor injects, see like, in India, euthanasia is still not law now. Right? In certain countries, euthanasia is law. Always a debate, isn't it? Sometimes when you have a certain family member who is constantly in that ventilator, coma or ventilator, whatever. Now, doctors will tell you, if he takes, he's gone. But we will not take it. You are with him. Isn't it? Then it becomes difficult for a lot of people to say, take it or don't take it. It's such a big decision, right? Yes or no? Right? Such a big decision. So now, what can you do? You can only check whether I am genuinely seeing what is the thing and then taking the decision. Or a good situation now. Tell them to take it away so that all the property can come to me now. Is that your intention? If that was your intention, then it is of course selfish. If your intention is no, that person should not suffer. A lot of people put their dog to sleep now. Dog should not suffer, already the dog is suffering. I love the dog more than anybody else. Then. But they put the dog to sleep. Just pure selfless attitude. So this is the problem. That's the problem. So when a soldier will start taking decisions like this, then that's the complication I get into when you ask me the question. That's why I'm giving all this explanation. So if you ask a general question, should you use it? Of course. Is a soldier who is deciding to fight in spite of all that, is he using his intelligence? That's also correct. So five causes. Seat, which is the body. Then?
Actor.
The doer. Conditioned consciousness. Instruments. Mm-hmm. Functions. And Atma. Atma doesn't do anything. Without Atma, nothing happens. Right. My understanding that Atma does nothing, and I identifying with Atma, do any action, even if it happens to be the killing somebody, it incurs no sin. Then he analyzes the action further and says there are another way of looking at it also. What is that? You only act with your body in the area of known. The sense. You know something and you desire that and your body acts to get that. Would you act in this way? In something where you don't know anything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the unknown
versus
the unknown. Going to unknown territory
versus unknown
territory.
Okay, let us put it this way. Can there be any action without a desire?
No.
No.
But then, if
if there can be action without a desire, then we're going back to what we were discussing.
There is no action without a desire. Desire, listen to this. This is selfless. Till you reach the selflessization state. The goal is to reach moksha, to reach freedom. With that, reach that freedom is my desire. Do you think?
Are
you
with me? There is only the desire.
Till you become self-realized. Okay. So.
So when you have no desire, but what is next is also a desire. If there's a thought, then what is next? Am I right?
So what is the thought next?
My question is, desire nothing, is that a desire too? Like when you were talking about...
That's dual state, that's not
what... That's what I'm saying, basically. We were talking right now about going back to the example of a soldier who's doing his job with no connection.
He has a desire to serve his country. The desire to serve his country is a higher desire compared to serving his own personal interest. Like that you keep on escalating your goal. You finally keep the goal of self-realization. The self-realization is the goal. That is what we call a selfless from a relative point of view. You forget about the actions done by self-realized soul. Tomorrow Shivani has realized the self. Uske baad jo bhi Shivani karega, wo alag baat hai. But abhi, aap jo kar rahe hai, from now, whatever you do, it has to be propelled by some desire. Either it is selfish, unselfish or selfless. Selfish desire means my personal. Unselfish means community, country, like that. Selfless means Atma.
Thinking of desire is a selfish thing. Or at least I'm used to thinking of a desire and a want is a selfish thing.
That's what you say.
Yes, it could be selfless. Yeah.
Selfish, unselfish, selfless. You got it? So therefore, if I have to have a desire, can I have a desire for something I don't know?
Yeah, that's afterlife. I mean, I think I've done everything now. I'm ready for the next.
You that don't know, let us say, you don't know anything called recorder. You don't know there is something called as recorder. Can you have a desire for recorder?
No.
No.
You don't know it.
You don't know it. So you don't have desire. So, then there won't be action also. Action. See, chronology of action you all forgot. Vasana, thought, desire, action. You remember the chronology of action. Vasana, thought, desire, action. So there can be no action without desire. And there can be no desire in the area of unknown. Desire can only be in the area of known. So therefore he says, for action, knowledge is one impetus. Understand? Knowledge. And the moment you say knowledge, then there is a knower. And knowledge of what? That is called known. The three aspects. Knowledge, known, knower. And the knower has to translate himself or herself as an actor doing the action. Correct or not? So see verse number 18, that's the last verse I'm summarizing now. Verse number 18, what all it says? Knowledge, knower, known are the threefold impulse to action. While instrument, action and actor are the threefold constituents of action. In the sense, you cannot act if there is no knowledge. And the moment you say knowledge, there will be knower and the known. Theek hai? These three are the impulse to action. Then the knower has to translate himself or herself to actor, acting, performing the action, using the instruments. So therefore he classifies knowledge, knower and known as impulse to action. And action, actor and instruments to constituents of action. In short, same action is analyzing from different levels. Then from next verse, he starts talking about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic knowledge. So now this verse is clear, no? There can be no action without Desire. And there can be no desire in the field of unknown. Therefore, action presupposes knowledge.
And knowledge presupposes
knower and known. Then towards the known, to get that known, I need to act. When I act, I become an actor. And I have to do the action using the instrument. Now, having explained this, he leaves aside the known and the knower. He takes known, knower and instrument, he leaves aside. Because known is the object. We are now analyzing the subject. When we are analyzing the subject, do we have to discuss about the object? No. Therefore, leave it. Right. Then, doer, when you analyze, the instrument is part of the doer or not? We are not talking about the external instrument. We are talking about the internal instrument. Is it part of the doer or not? Actor or not? Therefore, he leaves the instrument also. He leaves the instrument. He leaves the known. Right. And the knower and doer are one and the same, na? I know and you don't do. I am the one who is doing. Don't confuse yourself. I have the knowledge, but I tell you to do. If you say that, I am the doer also because I am telling you to do. Is that clear? So the knower and the doer are one and the same. Doer meaning actor. Therefore what he does is, he removes the knower, he removes the known, and instrument. Tino ko remove karke knowledge, action, actor. In tino cheez ka sattvic, rajasic, tamasic ke dwara analyze karta hai. Samajh gaya? Because we are discussing about personality assessment. And whenever you talk about knowledge, action, actor, should it be done with the intellect or not? What kind of quality intellect you have, whether sattvic, rajasic, tamasic? That he analyzes. Then, how determinantly you pursue, the action? Sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. Then, are you getting sattvic, rajasic, tamasic happiness out of these actions? What are you working for? Those he analyzes. Is it clear? Seven aspects he analyzes. Renunciation he already covered. Already we covered renunciation. Abhi is going to talk about knowledge, action, actor, intellect, determination, happiness. Six. This six we will study now. Already covered renunciation. Next verse. ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च त्रिदैव गुण भेदतः प्रोच्यते गुणसंख्याने यथावच्छृणुताम्यपि ज्ञानं कर्म च कर्ता च त्रिदैव गुण भेदतः प्रोच्यते गुणसंख्याने यथावच्छृणुताम्यपि. Knowledge, action and actor are also said to be threefold according to the distinction in gunas, qualities, in the science of gunas, hear them also duly. So he is just saying, now I am going to talk about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action, knowledge, actor, listen to it fully from me. Next.
सर्वभूतेषु येनैकं भावमव्ययमीक्षते अविभक्तं विभक्तेषु तज्ज्ञानं विद्धि सात्विकं सर्वभूतेषु येनैकं भावमव्ययमीक्षते अविभक्तं विभक्तेषु तज्ज्ञानं विद्धि सात्विकं. Now he is talking about sattvic knowledge. What is sattvic knowledge? That by which one sees the one indestructible being or Atma in all beings, inseparate, know that knowledge to be sattvika. In short, if you have to summarize this verse in one line, it is unity in diversity.
What is it? Unity in diversity. The sattvic knowledge is that knowledge by which you see unity in diversity. Tamasic knowledge, rajasic knowledge, we'll discuss next. But sattvic knowledge is what?
Unity.
What does it mean?
Goodness in all in different.
You see, in the self knowledge, what he said.
Yes.
It means that you never go by your senses. Now, my senses will see man, woman. My senses will see that. Right? Now, my intellect also understands this is a man, this is a woman. But inside I see human being in both. Is it clear? In short, what he is trying to say is, you can't just go by just these words. What he is trying to say is, when you have sattvic knowledge, you don't merely go by the interpretation of your senses and the mind. That's what I mean. My senses outside when I see is showing something. But I clearly discriminate and I see the truth behind, and knowing the truth is called sattvic knowledge. That's what he says. When he says, what does he say? That by which one sees the one underlying being. What does it mean? It means you penetrate your perception, you penetrate your emotions, you penetrate your thoughts, and you see the underlying Atma. So that means if you have sattvic knowledge, in everything, you don't just go by what appears to you. You penetrate it with your intellect, you decipher, and then go by the... That's called sattvic knowledge. Is it clear? When the differentiation comes at the mind and sense level, which is rajasic knowledge. He is going to talk about it. Sattvic knowledge is when you penetrate and see, then you will see. For example, somebody is stealing. Your perception is what? They are stealing. Right? So now you deeply, therefore what kind of emotions may come in you?
Hate,
some negative things can come. Now when you have sattvic knowledge, what will you do? Okay, she is stolen or he is stolen. And, okay, I am getting this kind of immediate reaction, anger, emotion, whatever. Right? Then I analyze and I see that they are also human beings, but they have certain traits which belong to gunas. As a result, I hate the sin and not the sinner. Then when I have this kind of an attitude, what knowledge I have? Sattvic knowledge. You got it? In short, if you have sattvic knowledge, you will go by the truth always. Sattvic knowledge, and when the good intellect also I pointed out to you. Because with the sattvic intellect, you will have sattvic knowledge, you know? Correct or not? You cannot have sattvic knowledge with tamasic intellect. Isn't it?
So,
for
tamasic guy, they just go catch and hit and do whatever.
Tamasic, they are coming.
So, how will a sattvic guy handle
this?
Okay, I know he's a thief. Okay, I know that
he's a thief. So, do whatever has to be done to rehabilitate that fellow. He or she needs to be rehabilitated. Obviously, the punitive cells are all rehabilitation centers. They should not be run the way it is being run. It creates more criminals. What is going on in the world is rubbish. Anyway, who are you or me to put anybody inside the jail or asylums? For what purpose? There should be more human touch, no? The fellows go inside and you treat him or her so badly. They come back with more vengeance and do all sorts of nonsense there.
That's at a certain level of theft. But let's say, I'm just giving
you... At any level.
I have a question on that. Let's say it happens, the reading in the paper one time.
Huh? It happens?
I mean, it happens in various ways.
Yeah, it's very
simple. I don't go to specifics. But let's say there's a box of candy. And it belongs to, say, it actually belongs to many people. Genuine ownership is there. Openly, and there's one decision maker,
I understood.
So then, let's say one person in all open visibility takes away 90% of it. Then rehabilitation is not an option. Then the option is to secure it for everybody else also.
Of course. I am... I said that in a different context. I am not saying what she asked is, okay, you will not punish him. I said, no, if you have to do certain things, do it as a rehabilitation.
So how do you do that?
Exactly, that's what I was saying. What you are saying now is, in that context, if he needs to be reprimanded, she needs to be reprimanded, everybody needs to be given their particular thing, all that needs to be done, right? But you are, how do you look at that person who has done it? You would look at it from the truth angle. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, something is propelled in greed or whatever.
Understand. But always you will see that. Always you see that. But you will not identify with that person, with that quality.
That's fine.
That's all I'm saying.
But you do identify.
Of course you have.
The reason is greed. The reason is self-centeredness.
Of course you have to do what is the correct thing there. Make sure that the candle reaches everybody else and all that. Now you can decide tomorrow that maybe two candles of mine also I'll give to him. That's a different matter. You understand? That's a personal thing. But end of the day, if this is what is to be done, it has to be done. But your attitude should not be hating all that. That's all I'm saying. So how would a sattvic see? Because many times this question has been asked to me, that is why I am explaining this in detail. See, when we give a public lecture, I am not going to go into all this. It's a class. What we are doing is a class. We are not in a hurry to complete the book. So I am going into the details of it. You need to do this actually thinking. All is there is unity in diversity. Let's go to the next verse. May unity in diversity take again. Then if I see difference, it is not that you will not see difference or you will be incapable of seeing the difference. Even though you see all the differences, you will always identify with the truth. That's all I'm saying. That identification will be with the truth. To that extent, you have sattvic knowledge.
So the question that I have, the behavior of the sattvic person towards a wrongdoer has to be there. I mean, the action has to take place.
Of course.
But it has to be done.
It has to be done with sattvic knowledge.
Sattvic knowledge. Yeah. So the objectivity.
It has to be done with sattvic knowledge and sattvic intellect with objectivity.
And without animosity.
So that comes later.
Sattvic intellect comes later. Action comes later.
Yeah.
But if you discuss the situation, yes, of course, sattvic action, sattvic intellect has to use the sattvic knowledge and do the action. You have to do the action. And if that action happens to be even killing. In this context it is killing, Mahabharata context. Should be able to do it. Not only if they are not your relatives, even if they are your relatives. In fact, like I said, your only relationship is with Atma. You have only transactional relationship with everything else. Isn't it? So even your relationship with your guru is a transactional relationship. Your real relationship is only with your Atma. Unfortunately, we got developed attachment in all our relationships. That comes the difficulty. Certain places where we have no relationships is easy. And there, if it's easy in certain places, then it is more likely to be indifference rather than objectivity there. More of indifference. Oh, here I know. Then we have talked about objectivity, not indifference. So, sattvic knowledge is seeing unity in diversity. So, next we will see rajasic and tamasic next. But Now, I'm just explaining to you. Now you got to reflect. How many times in a day do I think I function on sattvic knowledge? So accordingly, I give a percentage to myself out of 100. Could be 5, could be 2, could be 30, could be 100. Whatever percentage I give that much percentage when I do this thinking. I am not doing this assessment to impress anybody. I am doing it for my own assessment. So then, when we study Rajasic and Tamasic again, with this you do the analysis, then you know this much of sattvic knowledge I have. This much of Rajasic knowledge I have, this much of Tamasic knowledge I have. Like that, you can keep on analyzing your personality and then finally you take the aggregate, you will know relatively where you stand. Then you do this kind of experiment again after 6 months. Then you know whether you are improving or not. In fact, you should file this and don't look at it every day. 6 months ke baad ya 1 year ke baad, when you take it and do a fresh assessment and then see, you will know whether you are improving or you are stagnant.
पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्छते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमाधाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ कायेन वाचा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा मनसेन्द्रियैर्वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा बुद्ध्यात्मना वा प्रकृते स्वभावात् प्रकृते स्वभावात् करोमि यद्यत् सकलं परस्मै सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।